And we continue our consideration of the book of Romans. The book of Romans, this afternoon, we're in chapter 8. And it's some hallmark passages here in chapter 8 that we really love and enjoy. But I think there's some other things in here that we need to understand that leads up to those. We'll not be able to get through the whole chapter today. But we want to take our time with it and consider everything that's being said here. And in chapter, as we came through the book, if you kind of remember in your mind's eye, the gospel is preeminent. That's our message. Our message to a lost and dying world. The message of this apostle to the church there at Rome was the necessity of the gospel, the lack of shame for the gospel. It's the gospel. It's the power of God. And the salvation to all men, women, boys, and girls. Man by himself is seeking after God is just in a bad, bad way. We are inexcusable, chapter 3, or chapter 2. There's a necessity for the law to be at hand. We need the law of God because we're sinners, and we need that shown to us. It's necessary that we become guilty. The law is not a way of salvation, but our Savior keeping the law and imputing that to the believer is the way of salvation. And so he has done that for us. And then what the law does for the child of God is it gives us instruction about how our Lord wants us to walk, how we're to behave. I mean, that we're not we're free from the law indeed unto salvation because we couldn't keep it. But our Lord's kept it for us, and the law does speak to us about how our Lord would have us to walk with him. We fall short, but we have forgiveness in our Lord. Abraham, the father of faith, right? He, when he looked at the flesh, he didn't find much, but when he had faith in the Lord Jesus, he had everything. Faith in the Lord. Faith in the Lord's promises. Again, back to the Lord's word. And we live by faith. It's only by faith that our Lord is pleased. And the Lord's promises are great. They were great to Abraham. They were great to us. And as our brother didn't stagger, nor should we stagger at the promises of God. If the Lord says it, it's true. It's so. We need to take him up on it. We're justified, chapter 5, by faith. Now, in that, we have peace with God and other things that work in us, patience, experience, hope, a no-so hope in our Lord. That what he has said, his promises, are going to come to pass. It's not a maybe, or boy, that'd really, really be good if it does. But it will. It's just a matter of time. We have hope in our Lord. Talking about this chapter, talked about sin and the reigning of sin, and that. And then in chapter 6, there's this, the apostle dealt with it, and there were those that accused him of saying, well, if grace is so great, and that brings in, our sin brings in the grace of the Lord, then shouldn't we just keep on sinning so the grace of the Lord would abound? And no, that's not the case. That's not the case. We need to see things the way the Lord does. We're wicked, we're sinful, we're depraved, and we need that touch, that help, that favor of the Lord to rescue us from those things. In chapter 6, we're buried with Christ. We're buried to that old way. Those sins are dead or gone, that old way. We're alive in our Lord unto obedience of him. We're called to be like him, to be conformed to his image. Because remember, bottom line, chapter 6, sin equals death. It's just that way. Sin equals death, but righteousness and eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, is indeed life. And then he uses, in chapter 7, he uses the law and about the dominion of the law. And again, we are free from that in that we don't look to the law to save us. We don't look to the law to help us, but to reveal what it is in us and that we need help from. In chapter 7, we saw where there's bad death and good death. It's good to be dead to sin. And it's good to be dead to sin. And it's great and wonderful to be alive in Christ. And so we've got this old man, new man that's here, this wretched man that we carry about. He gives us trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble. But you know what? We will be delivered by Jesus Christ our Lord. Then we come to chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now, right now, not some future time, but therefore, there is therefore, because of these things that have been said, have been preached, have been written, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? If you're in Christ Jesus, no condemnation. There's no coming damnation for you. For the sinner, when we were in our sins and without Christ, without hope, without help, there was condemnation for sin. If we died, we'd wake up in hell. That's the damnation for our sin. Everyone has that. Sin is personal. Your sin is yours. My sin is mine. And apart from Christ, the sinner by himself and his sin, there's that imminent condemnation that abides upon every sinner's head. It's there. It's coming. And all that has to happen for it to come about is life, physical life, to end. But to us, to we who are saved, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. Listen, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. That's how it's known. That's how it's manifested. That those that are in Christ Jesus don't walk after the flesh anymore. Our brother just got through talking and saying here in chapter 7 that the flesh is at hand, and we do live. And I think the coming content of this chapter is going to help us to understand. You know, I've been asking the question here in recent times, well, you know, why is it our Lord has left us this way? He saved us. And where we just had one nature at hand before, the old man, which is carnal and heading towards death, is death itself, knows nothing but sin, enmity with God, hatred with God, and the way of God. And he saves us, and the new man is now put within, the Spirit of God is within, and we've got this warfare. Why would he leave us that way? Why has he done that that way? We mention things from time to time, but that's how we're at, how we are. But we're to walk not after the flesh, not after the desire of this old body, not after the desire and way of this world, but walk after the Spirit. There's no condemnation. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How do you walk? How do I walk? Do we walk after the flesh? Do we just resort to those things of the flesh? Or do we walk after the Spirit of God? When we're faced with a thing, we encounter a thing, what is it that we do? Do we do what our Lord would have us to do? Or what comes natural to us to do? How is that? For the law of the Spirit, verse 2, of life in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And so that's been dealt with in the previous chapters. See, if the Spirit is at hand, we've been set free. If the Spirit of the Lord lives within, we've been made free from the law of sin and death. When we're without Christ, And in our sin, we know nothing but to sin. Every move we make is sinful before the Lord. As has been said lately, by some of the brethren, our motive, we might even be doing what we would say would be good things, you know, not in the depths of depravity and wickedness, but even say as those that appear before the Lord, they say, Lord, Lord, have we not? Well, the things that they mention are good things, right things. But their motivation is for self-righteousness rather than for service and obedience to the Lord because of his salvation. And so we're free from this. We don't look to the law for salvation. We're not trying to keep the law for salvation. We're free from that, and we're free from that how? And who? Well, life in Christ. He's made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law, verse 3, could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. We couldn't keep it. We could never keep it. We've got it in us to sin, and we come forth from our mothers speaking lies. And we don't even know it. That's how bad Adam's sin was, is that it's done that to his children. And we come forth and we're sinning against the Lord, we're lying. As sweet as James, baby James is, he's that way. Because he got it from his daddy. Got it from his daddy. Well, I got mine from my daddy. And so it's that way. We're just the law never was given for salvation. And so those that would think that it would be, it's weak through the flesh. God, for what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, we couldn't keep it. The first covenant that the Lord made with Israel was that way. They couldn't keep it. Couldn't keep it. And God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, he's like us. He's a man. He was born of a woman, but he doesn't have the same father as we do. He says, for what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, to deal with sin. You know, that's something that's come to light more about how the Lord just came. He came here to deal with sin, expose sin, deal with sin, condemn sin in the flesh. Because he could keep the law. He could take the cloak off of sin. Even the religious world of his day and the leadership there in Israel, he said, I've come and I've revealed their sins. They have no more cloak for their sin. He just ripped it off of it and showed it. He rebuked them. He told those that heard, he said, whatever the elders tell you to do, do it, because they sit in Moses' seat. But then he dealt with them and he said, you bunch of hypocrites, you bunch of snakes, you bunch of vipers, you take the position that you have and you use it against the very people that you're called to minister to. He told them those things. He revealed all that. And the law was weak because it couldn't be kept by this flesh. But God sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And so he's victorious over sin, isn't he? He was tempted and didn't have the thought of sin. He was compassed about with infirmity and load and weight and all that. And not a once did he deal with that wrong. You and I, we can get loaded down and burdened down and deal with that wrong. It can happen. We can do different things. But the Lord did not. And it goes on to say here in verse 4 that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Ah, so the righteousness of the law can be brought to us, not by ourselves, but by the Lord, that the righteousness, he sent the Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit of God. We can't not mention this passage in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 25. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 25. He says, after dealing here with the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, he says to the churches of Galatia, Paul writing, if we live in the Spirit, Galatians 5:25, let us also walk in the Spirit. In verse 16 of that same chapter, he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust or the desire of the flesh. I say, well, I just want to do what the Lord would have us to do. Be how the Lord would have us to be and represent our Lord. He's merciful, he's gracious, and he's kind. We need to be that way. Back in Romans 8, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. Again, do you have the Spirit of God within you? It's going to deal with that. Do we have the Spirit of the Lord within us? For they that are after the flesh, verse 5, do mind the things of the flesh. It's the way it was, the way it can be. If you and I are concerned more about this world and this body and the things that we want, just what we want to bring to ourselves, we're minding the things of the flesh. And that's the way the world is. That's the way those are that are not saved. They mind the things of this world, this flesh, what this body wants. And remember, if it's sin, if it's the things of the flesh, it equals death. It's no good. But they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. I've got to go to work tomorrow. How can I go and do that in the Spirit? Well, there is. There's a way that we can go into. I've got some business transactions. I've got some relationship. I've got some. You name it. How can I do that like Christ would do that? Like the Lord would have me to do that, that I may represent Him. Are we concerned about our Lord? Are we concerned about the things of the Lord here in this place, but over in this place we're not? That's not to be. For to be carnally minded, verse 6, is death. There it is again. Sin equals death. The carnal mind and the way of this old flesh is death. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I like that word peace. It's good to have peace. It's wonderful to have peace with our Lord. Everything around us might be falling apart, but to have peace with our Lord. We have peace with our Lord by virtue of salvation. We have peace with our Lord by virtue of obeying Him. Obeying Him and not quenching the Spirit, not grieving the Spirit when we disobey our Lord and the things that we're confronted with in life. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. This old man, he still hates God. He still hates God's way. Wants nothing to do with it. The carnal mind is enmity against God. That's another enmity is another a nice way to say hatred. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It cannot be. It won't do it. It just won't go there. That's the reason it needs to be mortified. It needs to be taken down. It needs to be knocked half to death, as Brother Willie says. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So anytime you and I take up the way of the flesh, we're not pleasing our Lord. Anytime you and I take up, we are saved, and that's the only ones that can. We that are saved, we take up the way of the Spirit, we please our Lord. Because we please our Lord, and that His Word is right, and His Word will work. And we have faith in our Lord that His Word will work. Remember Hebrews, what Hebrews 11 says? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's just not talking about salvation. That's talking about living and walking. Living life as His children. So then they are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. But ye, you Romans, you that are saved and members of that church there in Rome, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you, does He? If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you're not in the flesh. Okay? The Spirit of God dwell in you? That's only something you can know. It's only something the individual can know. No one can tell you. No one can tell. There's advice to be had from brothers and sisters in Christ that are older in the faith and that have learned. There's advice to be had, but no one can tell you if you're saved. No one can tell you if you've got peace with God. Only you and the Lord know if you've got peace with God. Do you have peace with the Lord? Do you have peace with Him? But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. And this is one of those passages that where the directive of the book, the directive of the chapter, is to those that are saved, but it's putting that plug in there. Are you really saved? Are you really saved? We need to make our calling and election sure. Have we been called? Has the Lord saved us? Do we know Him? Does He know us? If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Look at how many ifs that are in this. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. No Spirit within? Don't belong to the Lord. Well, that's kind of harsh. I'll tell you what, this is of eternal importance. There's nothing greater, nothing more important than the sinner know and have salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved? If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ, verse 10, be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Dead because of sin. The Lord took care of sin. He dealt with sin. He paid for our sins. He took care of the eternal impact of sin upon us, didn't he? We are, as we saw earlier in an earlier chapter, we are buried with him by baptism into death, like he died. We're to be dead to self, to sin and to the world. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Righteousness of our Lord imputed. Righteousness of the Lord that we pursue because He's made us capable to do so. He's made it to where we can obey. We can know what is right and obedient to follow in Him. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, understand it, it's that same Spirit. The same Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that indwells the believers, the children of God. Same Spirit. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. We have hope of a new body, but He can quicken us now, if you will. Okay, this old man is this old man, but he can be mortified and he can be helped. He can be affected by the Spirit of God within to where this old flesh, this old man, this old mind can be used to the honor and glory and praise of God. Because, see, it's only known what we do by what we do in this body. Right? You never go somewhere without your body. You don't go somewhere and leave your soul at home in the drawer, in your chest of drawers, in a little bucket there or something, a little bowl. We all of us go everywhere together, body, soul, and spirit, right? And so it's by this that righteousness manifested in the life is known. But if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. I think that that's not only speaking in this context, speaking about what we will have. And when we have a body like Christ, but we can be helped now. We can be helped now if we submit to that working of God in our lives. Verse 12, therefore, because of that, brethren, verse 12, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We owe the flesh nothing. We owe the flesh nothing. We owe the old man nothing. But sometimes we do and we live and we walk and pursue like we owe the old man something. For the things of Christ, if we would seek not to be embarrassed. That's the old man that's embarrassed. We don't owe him anything. But we owe our Lord everything, don't we? We're not debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Once again, he says it, and we need it over and over again. You live after the body, you're going to die. We don't owe anything to the body. We don't owe anything to the flesh. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, mortify, that means kill off, pin down. Mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Does us well to go over here. Let's go over here to Galatians chapter 5 again. Let's just take a look here about the works of the flesh. If you live after the flesh, ye shall die. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 17, when we read in verse number 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth or desires against the Spirit. It wants what it wants, and the Spirit desires what the Lord would have us to pursue against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would, because we're caught up in the turmoil. You know, in a sense, our church, we can be focused, unified, and directed at the things that our Lord has called us to do. But if we have strife and bitterness and envying and upheaval in the church, we will be distracted from what we're supposed to be doing. Same thing in the body. If we've got these things of the flesh and of the world coming up in us, we're distracted from what we should be pursuing. So understand that time is the commodity that cannot be replaced. Once that moment is ticked off, we can never go back and get it. And if we've blown it, if we've used it for ourselves rather than for living for our Lord, it's gone. It can never be brought back. And so may we avail ourselves to the things of the Lord. He says, but this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. When we have that new body, we'll do everything that we should, right? We look forward to that. But verse 18, if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Okay? For led of the Spirit, if we're led of the Spirit, will the Spirit ever lead us to do anything wicked or evil or sinful? When we're led by the Spirit, do we need the law at hand to control us? We don't, do we? We don't need, if we're following after what the Spirit of God would have us to do, everything the Spirit of God would have us to do is going to be pure, upright, blessed, and peaceful before our Lord. We don't need the law hemming us in then. Now the works of the flesh are shown forth, manifest, which are these. Adultery, we understand that. Fornication, right? Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Filthy. Wantonness. We have a lot of wantonness in our day, don't we? You don't have to turn on the radio or the TV, the network programming very long to find out that wantonness is at hand. It's in the advertising. It's in the shows. It's just terrible. We're not to be a wanton people. Idolatry, right? Putting things between us and the Lord. Not only having an idol, but we have the idols of our heart. And the imagery of our heart that can be. We can take our children and put them between us and the Lord. Take a spouse and put them between us and the Lord. Witchcraft. Witchcraft, the Greek word is talking about drugs or magic, sorcery. That's what the flesh does. Hatred, hostility. We're not to be hostile, are we? We're not to be hostile. We've been saved from that. Variance. This word variance, we don't use that, but quarreling, wrangling, contention, debate, and strife. We've been saved from that. This is a work of the flesh. Emulations, not a word that we use, but heat or zeal, indignation, jealousy for a thing that's not right or of the Lord. It's good to have zeal in a right thing. It's bad to have zeal in that which is evil. Wrath, which is passion. It's kind of like emulations too, but wrath, fierceness, and indignation. I like to see I like to describe and understand wrath as anger with legs on it. Now we're looking to do something about being angry. Wrath gets physical even. Goes on to say strife, intrigue, faction, contention, seditions, disunion, also dissension and division. It's not just no good, is it? Heresies. This word heresy in the Greek speaks about making a choice. And the thing is, so well, at first glance, what's so bad about making a choice? Well, it's making a choice against that which is good and ordained and directed by the Lord. You know, we make choices to disobey. You know, disobeying just doesn't sneak up on us. It just doesn't do it. We choose. to disobey. We can get in a habit of disobeying, or we can get in a habit of obeying. It goes on to say here, envyings, ill will, jealousy, murders. We understand about that, the killing of another life. Or the Lord Jesus said, even if we would desire the death of someone in our hearts, we're guilty of murder. Drunkenness, being filled rather than with the Spirit of God, being filled with the dope or the spirits of the world. Revelings, to carouse around, to let loose, to riot, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what we've been saved from. We're not to be partakers and involved with that. We may slip and fall, but we need to repent and obey our Lord and get back right with Him. Back in Romans 8:13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. And the works of the flesh lead to nothing but death, don't they? But if ye through the Spirit, through the help of our Lord, mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. There's that of in the salvation our Lord has bestowed upon us of the saving of the life. Will we believe our Lord and save our lives by obedience of Him? Will we really take to heart what He says and know that that's true and know that there's help and blessing, that in this warfare that we have, that the best that it can be is for us to avail ourselves to the Lord in everything, to seek His help, that He would help us to yield to Him and His Word and everything, that'll be the greatest blessing, that'll be the greatest peace that we can have. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. You know, there are those, let's take Samson. Did he live after the flesh? I believe Samson was saved. I think it's obvious that he was saved. Did he live after the flesh? He sure did. Did he die? He sure did. I mean, if Samson would just have obeyed the Lord, he could have had a wife and a house full of children and been a righteous, good judge over Israel. But he listened to his body. He listened to the world. And he died. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, to availing ourselves of the Spirit, you know, prayer comes in here. We pray by the Spirit, don't we? Do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Listen, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But where there's no leadership of the Spirit, there's no sonship. Again, is the Spirit of God living within? Is there the Spirit of God living within? Can you go to the Lord and go to the Lord in prayer and go to Him in His Word, that you could seek His face and hear from Him about what He wants you to do or what He doesn't want you to do, and you can know that that's what the Lord would have you to do? Or do you have to? Is the Christian life the Lord speaking to you and the Word of God, the Lord speaking to you through His Word and through preaching and teaching, and you learn and you grow in that and you hear Him and you believe Him and trust Him in things? Is that the way of our relationship and our walk with the Lord is? Or is our walk with the Lord kind of like we kind of have the way of we're kind of walking through a minefield and we don't know if we're going to do the right thing or not? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you led? Do you have the Spirit of God within? For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Daddy, Daddy, Abba, Father. You don't have to tell anybody that they're saved. They'll know that they're saved because the Spirit of God is great and tells them that He saved them. He tells us that He saved us. We cry out to the Father. by the spirit of adoption that lives within. For the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We know that because the spirit tells us. Not the pastor, not some priest, not some parent, or other folk, but we know that between us and the Lord. Between us and the Lord. That we are the children of God. And then if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. It just keeps getting better and better, doesn't it? If children, then heirs. And heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be, we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Together with Him. Brother Doug pointed out this morning, if they did that to our Lord, what will they do more to us? Right? We're going to suffer for His namesake if we live for Him at all. But you know what? We got a promise of being glorified with our Lord. And the time of this life will be like a vapor, won't it? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature. This is interesting wording to me, the creature. We'll be looking about that more next time. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That, if you're here and you're saved, and the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you're His son, His child, and you know that from a surety from the Lord, that new creature in you, that new creature in us, each one of us individually, cannot wait to be with our Lord and be like Him. The creature. Not the old man and the new man, although the creature is speaking about that which has happened by virtue of the Spirit living within. But this is kind of look-see at the one that's saved, the child of God that's saved. The creature is from an eternal perspective, going from just the time that we have in this life to looking at the big picture, the creature. The one that's saved. What is alive? We that are alive. And you know what? We can't wait till the sons of God be fully manifested in our Lord. I.e., we get that body and the old man's gone. Right? Faith is past. And we live there before our Lord by sight. And we're not hampered in any way. No more sin. No more sin. Can't wait. Aren't you looking forward to it? I am too. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to Christ. You too can be saved. You too can have the Spirit of God living within by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. His salvation of your soul. You need the Lord. We point you to Him.